Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Christian Church. Happy to see everyone here who's here. Thanking God for a little bit of rain this morning. It was good to see after the service. 8 o'clock service was done out on the outside. Announcements and prayer concerns are in the bulletin. One announcement just to bring to your attention. For Kajito bracelets, sponsor families are invited to stop into the church office and pick up any bracelets made by one of the matrons at Kajito Children's Home. These bracelets were handed out at VBS to children and helpers, but those who have supported the ministry are welcome to take what's left. There's a few left in there, maybe 10 or so, so make sure you grab one if you would like one. With prayer concerns, there's a lot of need for prayer, for comfort with those who have families, with those missing loved ones, and dealing with hospice care and hospital care. One correction, this is my fault because I was supposed to proofread. I was in charge of proofreading the bulletin this week. Mert Rufer, the mother of Sue Buehr, and updating this that she has passed away, and visitation and service will be done at the Methodist Church in Stryker. So prayers for all these families involved, for comfort and peace, which we'll get into as we look at Psalm 6 this morning. And I want to just start by speaking on Psalm 6. Psalm 6 is printed in your bulletin. It's a short psalm. The first three verses of this psalm speak of someone who is in anguish. It could be physical anguish, emotional anguish, spiritual anguish. It could be anguish from within or from without. We don't really know, but this person is experiencing anguish. But all this person does know is that they are at the mercy of Almighty God. And for the psalmist, they believe that God may be angry with them, that they're being punished in some way. And when you're in that situation, when you feel this anguish, or perhaps you feel as anger from God, how do you respond? How do you speak to a God you can't see, that's invisible? How do you talk with him? The psalmist uses God's personal name, Yahweh. It's a very intimate relationship with God, using that personal name, but makes it all the more tragic, right? The speaker loves God, and yet this God seems angry or turned against him. He's not speaking as if to a high king or a stern judge, but my friend, who I know on first-name basis. I need my friend back in this situation. And some of these words are repetitive. In the first three verses, some of the phrases get repeated, and it kind of left open-ended, like especially with the last verse, "How long, Lord?" reveals this really just emotional struggle within them. So the psalmist reveals his own weakness. He says, I'm frail, my bones tremble, my soul panics, and yet he desires God's loving kindness. Do not be angry. Have mercy, heal me. He's not trying to make any logical back and forth with God yet. We'll get to that, but this is just an outpouring of what he's feeling. It comes to a point where the spirit just, the language has no words left to say. In the end, he just breaks off in that third verse, how long, O Lord? Just this loss, momentary loss of words. And how long is not asking for like a specific time, like to the second. Give me the day, minute, second of how long, Lord, but this is just a cry of frustration, how long, Lord? Or despair, how long, Lord? Or anger, how long, Lord? But all boils down to like, Lord, just help me. And so setting the tone of Psalm 6, we begin with our opening prayer, a prayer of confession and seeking God's mercy. So let's pray. Lord, we come to you with our own troubles, which are physical or emotional or spiritual. We come to you because we have heard of your mercy, and Lord, we know of your mercy. You invite us to pray with you. You invite us to speak with you, sharing everything on our hearts and minds. So, Lord, we call to you, God of mercy. We call to you, Lord of love and Lord of grace. We call to you as our advocate, as our friend. And though we have failed you in many ways this week, we seek mercy in you. Though I have not loved you with our whole heart, we seek mercy in you. And though we have not loved our neighbors truly, we seek mercy in you. So we come to you, Lord, knowing your grace. Amen. I invite you to rise. We have our call to worship. So knowing God's mercy and love, and knowing that he comes to you in grace, we proclaim together. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his.
We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name.
For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Our opening scripture is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, reading from the 21st through the 28th verses. When people realize it is the living God you are presenting and not some idol that makes them feel good, they are going to turn on you, even people in your own family. There is a great irony here. You're proclaiming so much love, but you're experiencing so much hate. But don't quit. Don't cave in. It is all well worth it in the end. It is not success you are after in such times, but survival. Be survivors. Before you've run out of options, the Son of Man will have arrived. A student doesn't get a better desk than her teacher. A laborer doesn't make more money than his boss. Be content, pleased even, when you, my students, you are my harvest hands, get the same treatment I get. If they call me the master, dung face, what can the workers expect? Don't be intimidated. Eventually, everything is going to be out in the open, and everyone will know how things really are. So don't hesitate to go public now. Don't be bluffed into silence by the threat of bullies. There's nothing they can do to your soul, your core being, save your fear for God, who holds your entire life, body, and soul in his hands. Here ends the reading. Let us sing together our opening praise song. The name of the praise song is May the Peoples Praise You.
Yeah.
Our assurance of pardon comes from Romans chapter 5. God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we have now been declared righteous by his blood, will we be saved through him from his wrath? Lord, we thank you for the gift of salvation, and we give all glory and praise to you. So hearing his will once more, God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. So let us show our thanksgiving by our very lives. Amen. And I invite any children present to come forward for a children's message together. What if I told you, I'm really trying to enjoy this book, but I just can't seem to understand it? What would you tell me? But what if I want to hold it upside down? What if that's how I want to do it? Then what? Read upside down backwards. Maybe I'll try your way. Should I try your way? Yeah. Look at that. I can read it. There are a lot of times when we try to do our own thing and go our own way, and sometimes we need to fix things. We're going to hear about a Bible character today called Naaman, and I'll invite you to sit here on this first pew, because you'll need to watch the screen over here. So we'll sit over in the front or that screen. So we'll watch our video today and we'll talk a little bit about it. So choose a place to sit that you can see the screen. Go ahead.
The Israelites made it to the land that God had promised. They were not always faithful to him. During those times, armies would sometimes attack and rule over the Israelites. Naaman was a leader in one of those armies. He was very powerful, but he was sick with leprosy. Leprosy would hurt someone's skin and then get worse. People would often die of leprosy. A girl from the people of Israel lived in Naaman's home. She worked there as a servant after the armies came into her land. Even though Naaman led the enemy army, the girl wanted him to learn about God and his power to heal. She told Naaman's wife about God's prophet, Elisha, who lived in Israel. Naaman came to Elisha's home, hoping to be cured. He brought gifts and treasure to pay for healing. God's healing is not bought. It is a gift. It is grace. Elisha sent a servant out to tell Naaman that he should wash 7 times in the Jordan River. At first, Naaman was angry. He wanted to see Elijah in person, and he did not like the Jordan River. He thought his rivers at home were nicer. But the men who traveled with Naaman convinced him to try. Naaman washed himself, and his skin was healed. In fact, his skin was better than before. Naaman realized that the God whom Israel worshipped was the true God of all. He left, planning to worship God for the rest of his life. God gives us healing too. Sometimes he heals us when we are sick. He always heals us from sin, washing our sins away when we ask for forgiveness. Someday, when Jesus comes again, everything will be better than before, even our bodies. that will be an amazing act of grace.
So what was the problem with Naaman?
He had leprosy.
He had leprosy, right? And it wasn't very good, right? He could have died for it, right? Died from it. Do you remember who told Naaman to go find Elisha? There was a young girl that lived and worked for him, and she told him that there's a prophet in Israel named Elisha, and he can perhaps do something about it. Not Elisha, but the God of Elisha, right? So he comes, and Elisha tells Naaman to do what? How is he going to get rid of his leprosy? Dunking in the Jordan River 7 times. And Naaman first said, no, right? I know a better way. I expect a better way, right? Just like I thought I could read my book upside down, right? But it wasn't helpful at all, right? Did it help him at all to do his own way? No. And finally he was convinced to go into the river. And what happened? He was healed, right? Yeah. He listened to God's word and good happened, right? So God tells us things that we should do and not do, and sometimes we choose to listen or not listen, but he tells us things because he loves us and cares for us, like your mom and dad would tell you things because they love and care for you. But ultimately, God wants to tell you about Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for you, and that brings forgiveness, which is the best kind of healing ever. So let's pray that we could have listening hearts to God's word. Dear God, we thank you for your wise words. Help us to listen to your words and to follow your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everyone.